Good morning. Is it on? Okay. I thought I was going to get a Google. Whenever you introduce speakers, right? Steve usually Googles the name, and I thought for a guy, there'd be a lot of definitions for that, but. This morning, Steve had said that he welcomed Chloe and I, and then he said, "Guy's going to come up and give a family update." I thought, it almost sounds like there's something wrong with our family because there's just, you know, Chloe and I here, but that's definitely not the case. Nikki is with the boys at our church in Peterborough, and she has some obligations this afternoon, and that's why Chloe and I are here this morning. I wanted this morning just to give you a bit of an update on our family. I can't believe it's been a couple of years, almost a couple of years since I've been on staff here. Time has flown by. A lot has happened. So I want to give you a bit of an update on our family, also an update on what has been happening with Kawartha Youth for Christ. And then I want to share the message this morning. This picture here is a picture of our two boys and Chloe on their first day of school, and Caleb is now in grade 8 and Chloe's in grade 1, so she's in school every day, and Jensen is in grade 6. They're doing well in school. They're enjoying their teachers. Thank you for your prayers as they have transitioned well into the community. A big part of that is that the kids are involved in hockey, which in Ennismore, we live in Ennismore, which is just north of Peterborough, so it's about 15-minute drive from Peterborough. And in this community, a good portion of the kids play hockey, and so the arena really is the hub of the community. And so for us as a family, we've really gotten to know families through hockey. And actually, Chloe has started to play hockey this year. It's kind of a learn to play hockey. And so we really didn't ask her opinion about that. We just kind of, you know, put the uniform on her and stuck her out on the ice. And so I asked her, I said, so Chloe, how do you like hockey? Or I said, what was your favorite thing about hockey today? And she said, when I stepped off the ice. So we're not sure if she's going to be playing hockey next year or not, but we'll see. She's going to start playing games in January. Right now they're just learning to play. So, with Chloe being in school all day, Nikki right now is in that kind of time of transition in terms of asking God if she should be volunteering more at the school or with the mission or getting a part-time job. So pray for her. You've probably seen Nikki and the kids more than you've seen me because she's been coming here and updating you about the Africa trip. And so just with our schedules, it seems like we've been coming here not together. So hopefully next time we'll be coming together as a family. Kawartha is a landscape of lakes. I don't think there's any streets that are straight. You know, we were out in southwestern Ontario last weekend, and I couldn't believe that you could be driving for like 20 minutes and just go straight. In Kawartha, it's so many lakes that you have to go around them. So I drive to Bob Cajun on a regular basis from Peterborough, and it takes me about 40 minutes. But if there wasn't a lake in the way, it would take me 15. And so, but at the same time, lakes are beautiful. And this is Chemung Lake, and it's we can see this lake from our house, so we can't complain. It's very beautiful in the Kawartha area. This is what I mean by straight roads. I thought it was kind of a funny sign. So if you're ever wondering why you get lost when you get up to cottage country, you can see why by that sign. So my prayer today is that my message won't be so confusing. That's a sign. In terms of Quorth Youth for Christ, it was a privilege to be able to serve here for 7 years, and really my responsibility was one block here, and God has led us to Kawartha, where our responsibility now is a larger area, maybe about the same amount of people, but a larger area. Peterborough is where our head office is, and then we have Lakefield, which is just north, and then on the west side is Lindsay, and that is a fairly new work in Lindsay. We have a missionary there. Fenland Falls and Bob Cajun, really known for tourism, but also a large seniors population. In Halliburton, which is surprisingly one of the poorest communities in Canada, a very seasonal in nature, so this time of year that a lot of people are laid off. And so this is the area in terms of that we work. The youth that we work with have very different challenges than the youth here in the urban centers. One of the major differences is isolation. For some of the kids, you know, they may be on the bus for an hour and a half getting to school. And so when they leave school, they get back on the bus. And if they have a poor family life, that can be very difficult as they head home. This is our head office. So this is in Peterborough. My office is at the front end. So we have offices at the front and the back. We have a youth center, and inside our youth center is the bridge. And here we host after school programs, and we have a drop in for youth on Friday and Saturdays. Where it's located, it's very strategic. We're right near downtown Peterborough, so a lot of kids will walk right by our location. And just recently, our staff have repainted the back, and so this is the back of our youth center. When we moved to Kawartha, we knew that it would be a new challenge for going to a new location. But the responsibilities of the job have been, in some ways, just the right fit. But there are days when it feels very overwhelming. Last year, we had an opportunity to connect with over 1,700 youth and children and throughout that region. And there are times when, as a leader, I don't have all the answers, but I'm responsible for decisions that happen within our organization and responsible for things that are completely out of my hands. And there are times when it's like, Lord, I have to give this to you. I don't have it in me to sometimes make the right decisions because I don't know what you have in store. But God continues to provide. But there's some very uncomfortable situations at times. Last year, for example, I was really spending the year getting to know our staff. And part of my responsibility is to raise funds for the organization. And God provided those funds. It was one of the record year for donations last year. God just meets us where we're at. This year, we've had a more difficult year. In August, we had one of the lowest months of donations. So from August to September, October is our fundraising season. You want to kind of get the mission to October. And our team prayed. And October was a record month for donations. We had $100,000 come in October. And God provides. But there's some times where you just think, Lord, if we just come at the right times, we wouldn't have to feel a little more secure. One of our staff in Lakefield said to me, he says, when he started ministry, he was reminded by his mother that when you're called to something, God will equip you. he doesn't call the equipped. So in other words, if God has called you into something, if he's leading you somewhere, he will provide for you in that. And that's really the direction that I want to take us in this morning. I've been thinking about our vision statement as Youth Unlimited, and you may know this because Alan being here on staff for you. But one of our goals, our goal as an organization, is that we would see the youth that we work with, that they would hit their life potential that God has designed for them. But that term life potential sounds kind of wishy-washy to me. So I want to kind of define what that means. What does it mean to kind of reach our potential? Because the world would describe reaching potential in a very different way than we do as Christians. So this morning we're going to open the Word, and Paul's going to give us a bit of an idea of what that means. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Father, for Bridletown. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here. We thank you for the church family, Lord. We pray for Trevor as he moves on to a new calling, Lord. We pray for Bridletown as moves into a new chapter. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, Father. We just pray for the message, Lord, that you be glorified in it, and that we, as we walk away today, that we learn more about you, and that we would be able to walk with you at a closer level. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to open up to Ephesians chapter 1. And I just want to read from chapter 1, from 16, starting at 16. And I'll be reading from the ESV this morning. Paul praying here for the Ephesian church, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of the revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope in which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Paul here gives us some insight in this question around what does it mean as Christians? What is Paul's hope here for the Ephesian church? And I think of organizations like Youth Unlimited, and we think of churches as well, as what is our goal as we come alongside and we encourage and lead. And what I would start off with is what does the world say about potential, human potential? It is easy for us to look at least for me, to look at places like Boys and Girls Club and YMCA and Big Brothers and Big Sisters. These are great organizations of what they do. But they have a very different poster child than we do. Success looks like this in the world. You look at a person, you say, what is your dream? And they find out what is the dream of that person. And what your goal then is to take the dream of that person and help that become a reality. And you do your best that you can to help them get to their dream. And then when you define that dream and help them get there, then you help them to do the best that they can to be the best at that particular thing that they have decided that they wanted to do. So the poster child of the world would be someone that maybe came from an underprivileged family, that had a dream to be a doctor, and that they invest everything into that person, and they remove barriers in their life that prevent them from becoming a doctor, and then they become a doctor and become a good doctor. And that would be a poster child, right? That we help someone along the way in their life, and that we remove barriers that prevent them from their dream, and then they could become what they wanted to be, and they would hit their life potential. When I think of potential from a Christian perspective, it looks very different than that. And I think Paul here gives us some insight in what that is. First of all, he says he prays to the Ephesian church that they would gain wisdom, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He first points that our goal is that we would have a knowledge of our Creator, that we would know who God is, that we would know the magnificence of God. There's a recent study that's come out, and you may have heard this from Alan, called Hemorrhaging Faith. And John Wilkinson, who's with Youth for Christ Toronto, was part of this study that looked at youth over a number of years and why they were leaving the faith. And one of the main reasons why young people have left the faith is because they have not encountered God at church. And that really depends on denomination and what church, and this is a general statement, but it's interesting here that Paul, one of the things he prays is that they would have a knowledge of him. And that is our hope, that the people that we work with, that you would have a knowledge of our Creator. Interesting that knowing God can be one of the easiest tasks that we can do, or it can be the most challenging tasks that we can do. God, by His grace, that we can come to Him and ask. God reveals Himself, as we were singing this morning, in the wonders of this world, who He is. But it can be a challenge, because sin separates us from that. I think of an adolescent who's kind of in that stage in life where they have one foot over here, where they're trusting God in kind of a childlike faith. But they have another foot here where they're now becoming an adult. And as parents, we're saying, I'm going to give you more responsibility over your life. And part of that is taking ownership of their faith. And they have to then realize, okay, who is this God? Who am I going to trust? As they begin to take control of their life, there's a temptation to take all the control. And the world is saying to them, follow your dreams, do what you want. And it's easy for them to forget who God is. And so I'm encouraged here, Paul prays this, that our prayer is that we would have a knowledge of Him. And part of that is experiencing Him, because God is alive. Tim Coles, who's a good friend of mine and the former executive director of Youth for Christ in Kawartha, his son Clay, one night said to his dad, I would love to go see a Pete's game. So Peterborough Pete's are a junior hockey team in Peterborough, and you have to pay to go see them. And his dad says, well, if you want to go see a hockey game, you're going to have to, you know, we don't have the money right now, you're going to have to pray. And so Clay prays, and the next day they get a phone call from a friend of theirs, and he says, I just felt led to give you guys tickets for the hockey. And not only that, actually, he said, I'm going to give you season tickets. I'm going to give you 4 season tickets. And so even to this day, Clay is 13, he remembers. Not that God is something that we just ask for things and he just gives them to us, but he recognized that God is real, and that Clay realizes that his story is part of God's story. And Paul prays next. He says that they would have the eyes of their hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope in which he had called you. I just think it's interesting. It says that you may know what is the hope in which he has called you. In chapter 2, he writes the verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That our call is based on something that God has thought about a long time ago. It's not just about us. It's not just about what we want, although God puts passions in our heart. But it's about following what God wants in our life. It's about knowing who God is and asking him, what would you have for me today? In some ways, that's quite uncomfortable. I think it's easy for me to follow the things that I like or the things that I feel secure in. When we're following someone else, often it means that we have to put others first. We have to think about others, which in those times can be difficult. One of our staff had said to me at one time, he says that the times that I feel comfortable are the times that I feel like I'm out of the will of God. And I said, what? He says, it's the times that I feel uncomfortable are the times that I know God is there. Because when I feel comfortable, I feel like I'm too much in control. You can take that for what you want, but it's just an interesting statement of a missionary that I've watched have to trust God through some very difficult situations. Paul goes on to write that he says that I want them to know about the riches. He says, what are the riches and his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the work of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only of this age, but also in the one to come. That we would know the very power of God. I mean, it's one thing that God asks us to follow him and to know him, but then to trust that he is able to help us do the things we need to do. And he says, listen, you can have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. We have recently in one of our programs in Lindsay, we partner with Salvation Army in Lindsay. They have a lunch program they run with the junior high school. So the kids from the school come over and they get a free lunch. And they needed some staff. They needed some people to help to actually just be with the kids. So we have a staff member that meets with the kids twice a week. Anyways, one of our staff went in and I saw this kid. He had a brace on his hand. And he just felt the Lord saying to him, I need to go talk to that boy. So he went over and talked to this young man. He asked me, he says, why do you have a brace on your hand? He says, oh, last year I had broke my hand, or broke my arm, and he took the brace off, not the brace, but what do you call it? The cast off too early. And being a kid, right? And never healed properly. So now he's got to wear this brace. And so Adam just said, well, this is a perfect stranger, right? Adam says, well, can I pray for you that God would heal it? And the boy said, okay. So Adam went over and prayed over his hand, and nothing happened right away, and they had conversation, and he left. 3 days later, the boy comes in with a group of his friends, and Adam looks over, and he's got no brace on his hand. And he says, hey, you like, what happened? How you doing? And he's kind of like a little bit shy, and he says, God healed my hand or my arm. He says, what? He says, God healed my arm. And then the boy said, my buddy's got a sore back. Can you heal him? So the story goes, he and our missionary prayed, and the boy's back was healed as well. These are stories that I don't script. They're ones that we don't make up. Reaching the full potential in God is above our expectations. Sometimes it's beyond our own theology. But those boys experienced God in a special way. And if anything, they gave him the glory for it. God showed his power that day. As I read after that also, is that as we follow God, the one who is our Lord, the one that we serve, is above all. He's above all the principalities. He's above all the governments in this world, the kings and princes. Which is encouraging thought, because there's times in our life when we feel that those who are above us, we feel that we're limited in what we can do. Recently, in one of our locations, our staff person was removed from the high school because of our statement of faith, because of our stand and certain lifestyle issues. But the principal has a right to make those decisions, and we respect that. So we pray. Now, the answer to that prayer really looked a lot different than we thought. We thought we'd have another staff person in that school. But there's a public school that just down the road, an elementary school, that another little miracle happened. And I just found out that this week, one of our missionaries had prayed that she would have some Bibles for the kids that are in her after-school program. She didn't have any money to buy the Bibles, so she just prayed, Lord, I just feel that I needed some Bibles and I want to give them to the kids. Well, someone called and gave 40 Bibles. Then she said, okay, I need to now pray that there's going to be some kids that want these Bibles. So she prayed for that. So she went over to her after-school program called Recreate. And this program is really cool. She takes recycled products and they recreate crafts out of those things. And it's really a foundation for this idea that we are recreated in Christ. Anyway, she shares Bible stories with these kids and on a weekly basis, and she said, the story you heard today is actually in the Bible right here, and all the stories we've been talking about are in the Bible. Who would want a Bible? So 10 kids put their hand up right away, and she passed out, she's providing the Bibles for these kids. The story goes on. So this one boy takes his Bible to school. And he starts showing his friends. It's actually a pretty cool Bible, this one. And he's in the library and he's showing his friends his Bible. So the school calls our missionary, Melissa, and she says, the librarian wants to talk to you. Usually when the school calls, sometimes you're not sure what it could be, right? But so the librarian said to Melissa, she says, you know, this boy came in with his Bible and all of these other kids were looking at the Bible and he was telling stories that he heard from the Bible. And she said to Melissa, do you have any other Bibles? And she says, yeah. She goes, can we have a Bible for our library? So today, there's a public school in one of our communities that has a Bible in their library. Praise God. I mean, that may have not been abnormal a number of years ago, but to have a librarian requesting a Bible in the library, we could have never done that if we actually presented it to the school. We would have had to gone through a number of layers of boards. But our God is above all things. And he can do those kinds of things. And we never know. You never know. There might be the next Billy Graham will come out of that school that reads the Bible. So we're encouraged. So what is full potential look like? What is our hope when we say that? You know, in a book recently I read, the writer had said, the world doesn't need more perfect people demanding adoration. What the world needs are broken people that love without condition. Isn't that true? In some ways, we want to have perfect people. We want to have our kids rise up to the top. But the world needs people that are broken and that are willing to give to others and put others first. Because that allows us to be able to reach kids, to reach people wherever they are. And we can rely on God to make those changes in their lives, right? Be more like him. Also encourages me that God is there in the very most difficult circumstances. We had a situation about a year ago where a young man was murdered in Peterborough. Have I shared this story before? Okay, good. Just down the road from our youth center. So there's this house party, and these two girls came into the house party, and they started to kind of make a bit of a ruckus. So this one boy that we know went over to the girls to say, listen, we really don't want you here. If you could, you leave. I mean, this happens at house parties, I'm sure, all the time. And so the girls took exception, and the one girl took a knife and stabbed Matthew and killed him. As the story goes, we found out that, first of all, Matthew, the boy that was murdered, had been a gym club kid with our team in Lakefield, and they knew of him, and he had also been going to church in just outside of Peterborough, and he was a Christian kid, believer, and our director in Lakefield had gotten to know the parents pretty well, and so Chris was able to be there with the family during this difficult time. You know, in those moments when the mom was at the casket, Chris was there with her. Those are the kind of relationships that God calls us into in difficult times. But it doesn't end there. The girl that was holding Matthew when he was dying came into our youth center and met with one of our missionaries, Carlo, and he counseled her. There are two girls that were there as well that came in. One of the girls came in and met with our administrator. She prayed with them. Our mentoring director had been in contact with the girl that murdered Matthew, her sister, and she was able to minister to her sister in some way. Don't know all the details of that, but the girl that murdered Matthew was an after-school kid that had been part of our youth center years earlier, that we had former staff that would know her. It's a sad situation. But even in the midst of tragedy, God had placed Christians around to support those who were grieving. Chris, our director in Lakefield, actually spoke at the funeral in Lakefield. And you can imagine a small town, when a child dies, how large a funeral it is. And he was able to share truth that morning. Chris was also able to take Matthew's brother out one day to spend the day with him. And he took a really cool car that was owned by Jim Fisher. Jim Fisher is the father of Mike Fisher, the NHL player, if anybody knows Mike Fisher, who plays for the Nashville Predators. Mike Fisher's a Christian, and his dad lent the car to Chris to be able to take this young brother out for a drive. So even in difficult circumstances, God is very much at work. So, what does potential look like? Where do we want each of ourselves? We're thinking about how do we continue to be the best that we can be when we're tempted by the world of what that looks like? Is to, as Paul would say, as we pray, that we would know Him, and that may just be going over the names of God and just being reminded that He's a creator, that He's a provider, that He's a God of love, that He's in control, even in difficult circumstances. The reason why, if you look on the back here, it says love. For many of the kids that we work with, they don't know love, which is a sad thing when that is one of God's names, right? Love. I saw a little girl at an after school program, and she had love on her shirt, a little Muslim girl. And I felt like saying to her, you know, you have the name of God on your shirt. And that we'd recognize that our hope, of what we're called to, is connected to the one who made us. That we have to have a relationship with Him. That if we're not connected to the Holy One, in John it says we can do nothing without Jesus, right? And that God provides us with the resources and power to do that, and that we're also reminded that that of our inheritance beyond this life. And that the one that we serve is the Lord. I just want to encourage one more encouragement before I'm done. Is that for many of you know that 12 years ago this church was smaller than this, right? Was what, about 30 people? Your pastor had left to start a new church in Markham. You had a heart to reach this community and to reflect what this community looks like. And He took a young leader that you wouldn't expect, an intern. He ended up being your pastor for 12 years. So that's why I'm so encouraged that the next chapter of Bridletown Church will be an exciting one as you pray for direction in that way. As you know Him, as you know God, and as you trust Him in those next steps. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Father, that we're reminded to pray that we would have a knowledge of you, Lord, that we would never think that we have you figured out, that we never try and put you into some sort of box, Lord, that we know everything about you because you continue to surprise us. So, Lord, we pray that to that end. Lord, we pray that you'd open our eyes of our hearts, Lord, that we would know what you have planned for us. Lord, if there's anybody here, Lord, that has not made a commitment to you, to follow you, Lord, I pray that they would, Lord. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would be working today, Lord, that we would know the power of your Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you rule and that you're our Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.